A cluster of tiny lights form the words Miramax Films against the skyline of a neon-lit cityscape. The lights in the buildings fade away, leaving the silhouette of skyscrapers. An explosion of glittering light drifts away like dust to form the logo of BBC Films. The logo of Tiger Aspect Pictures slices across a black background. Miramax Films presents, in association with BBC Films and Screen Australia and South Australian Film Corporation and Hopscotch Productions. A Tiger Aspect Pictures production in association with Southern Light Films. Inspired by a true story. The screen fills with hazy blurred light. A Scott Hicks film. Clive Owen. The boys are back. Sunlight hazily reflects off the sea, making passers-by on the beach look like smudged shadows.
I don't know whether you've ever seen a map of a person's mind. Doctors sometimes draw maps of other parts of you, and your own map can become intensely interesting. But catch them trying to draw a map of a child's mind, which is not only confused, but keeps going round all the time. There are zigzag lines on it, just like your temperature on a card. And these are probably roads in the island. For the Neverland is always more or less an island.
You idiot! What the hell do you think you're doing?
No, it's okay, it's fine.
Get off the beach, you stupid moron!
What's your problem?
What do you think you're doing, you clown?
Take it easy, relax.
A dark-haired, handsome man, Joe, is driving along the beach in a 4x4 with his 6-year-old son, Artie, sitting on the bonnet. Emma Booth, Laura Fraser.
Wanna get wet?
George Mackay, Nicholas McAnulty. Julia Blake, Chris Haywood. Eric Thompson, Natasha Little. Joe drives through the surf, splashing Artie. Casting, Nikki Barrett and Nina Gold. Composer, Hal Lindus.
Get off the windscreen, you horrible little bug.
Featuring songs by Sigur Rós. Co-producer, Bella Wright. Artie's in the vehicle wearing goggles and using a snorkel as a gun as they drive along a remote coastal road. Costume designer, Emily Saracen. Production designer, Melinda Doring. Editor, Scott Gray. They pull into the dusty drive of a detached wooden house with a large veranda. Director of photography, Greg Fraser. Executive producers, Peter Bennett Jones, Clive Owen, David M. Thompson, Jane Wright. Based on the memoir, The Boys Are Back in Town by Simon Carr. Screenplay by Alan Cubitt. Produced by Greg Brenman and Tim White. Artie clambers up a tree and whizzes down a zipline strung from it. Directed by Scott Hicks. Joe walks into a light and airy but cluttered, untidy kitchen.
I wouldn't be the first to say that life is a journey that must be travelled no matter how bad the road. When Artie's mother was alive, the place didn't look like this. The house was just so much more welcoming. Everywhere you turned, Katie was there, in the smell of freshly picked rosemary in the kitchen, the tomatoes from the garden, the vase of flowers in the window.
A flashback to those times.
We miss that now. We do miss that.
That's not watching your face. Are you crazy?
The Neverland is always more or less an island, with astonishing splashes of colour here and there, and coral reefs and rakish-looking craft in the offing. Do you want to try reading some of that yourself?
Yeah. You could say of them that they have each other's nose, and so forth.
That looks good, Mum. I hope I've made enough.
Hey, Katie, he's here.
Look, Artie, it's your long-lost father.
Daddy!
Katie and Artie rush out to meet Joe.
Hello, stranger.
Hey, you.
Hey, cheeky bum.
Here's your prezi.
Welcome home, Meg.
Digby.
Good copy.
You like the piece on the Dell?
That was the old country.
Oh, same old Wimbledon. Strawberries with lashings of English rain.
Hey.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
Oh, you shouldn't have gone to all this trouble just for me.
Oh, as if.
That got my name on it, Tom.
I branded it myself.
All right, kids, let's have an Olympic race. Line up here.
On your markies, get to khakis, go!
Go!
I bet the sun's screaming, you, Dad.
Go, Eddie.
And so we lived happily ever after.
Come on, darling.
Go!
No, you know that's not true, don't you?
Is this okay?
You look great.
But?
But what?
There was a but in your voice. You don't like it?
I do. It's just...
Just what?
Well, it's a little black number. What can I say?
What does that mean?
I like this one.
Oh, for God's sake. Are you saying you want me to change?
No.
Then tell me you like this dress.
All right. I'll tell you I love the dress, but only on the strict understanding that you know I'm not telling the truth, okay?
Just tell me what you think of the dress.
I love that dress. That dress is fantastic.
Thank you. At last.
Joe and Katie are at a drinks reception in an art gallery. Joe is listening politely to an earnest man in spectacles. He glances across the room and catches his wife's eye as if to say, help.
Excuse me.
Hi.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, my God. You just saved me from the most boring man ever.
They remove themselves from the throng and drape their arms round each other in a passionate embrace.
My God, you're beautiful. In a slightly spooky kind of way.
Katie?
She collapses to the floor, clutching her stomach. At the far end of a deserted, harshly lit hospital corridor, Joe is pacing. A nurse approaches.
These will be safer with you.
Joe looks puzzled as the nurse hands him something small. Later, at his wife's bedside, he's turning over her rings in his hands. Katie's on a public ward, attached to a drip. Joe gently places the rings back on her finger. She's conscious, but has a wide-eyed, glazed expression.
I'm so sorry.
Don't be silly.
At home, Digby's watching Joe making his way through a bottle of liquor on his own.
She'll be fine. I know she'll be fine.
How do you know?
Well, I know she wanted us to feed her.
Well, you know she's immortal.
No, I'm just saying...
Digby, she's sicker than shit.
The cancer is rooted in her bowel and grown through her body like Russian vine. She's got two tumours in her intestine, three in her liver, which means it's probably spread to her lungs. You don't have a clue what you're talking about.
I'm so sorry.
Joe emerges from the bathroom with Katie in his arms and carries her along the sunlit hallway, past the open door of Artie's room, where he's playing. Joe hurries out of his and Katie's room and back to the bathroom. Artie, standing in the doorway of his room, watches his father return from the bathroom carrying an oxygen tank with a face mask connected to it. Artie creeps up to the doorway of his parents' room and through a crack in the door watches his father administering the oxygen to his mother. Later, Artie's sitting outside in the sunshine playing with a toy monkey. Joe watches him gravely from the veranda. He trudges across the yard to join his son, who is immersed in his game, ignoring his father as he perches beside him.
You know how Mummy's been getting more and more tired because she's been so ill? We think that soon she's going to go into a very deep sleep. A sleep so deep that we don't think she's ever going to wake up again. We think she's going to die.
When?
Soon.
Mummy died by dinner time?
I don't know.
Will she die by bedtime?
I don't know, sweetheart. None of us knows.
Okay.
Joe looks somber and exhausted. Artie scurries away and climbs a wooden staircase up a tree to the zip line. Joe looks lost in thought. Later, he's in bed alone.
Katie?
He gets out of bed and comes through to the kitchen.
Katie?
I'm making Artie's lunch. The way he likes it.
It's the middle of the night.
What?
Artie's in bed, sweetheart. He's asleep. It's okay.
Back in bed, she lies in his arms with her eyes closed. Hearing that her breaths have stopped, he leans in close to her. The morning sunlight breaks through the trees, forming a golden halo. Wind chimes gently sway as dazzling sunlight washes over them. Artie comes out of his room and clambers onto his parents' bed, draping himself across his pale mother.
Did Mummy die last night?
Joe nods weakly, looking deeply into his son's eyes. Artie scurries away.
Artie!
What did you tell me?
I told you Mum would die last night.
Oh.
Katie's mother, Barbara, hurries through.
Oh, my baby. My baby. My baby. My baby.
Artie plays in his room, seemingly oblivious to the cries of his grief-stricken grandmother. Katie's body is taken from the house in a blue body bag on a stretcher. Joe and his bespectacled bearded father-in-law, Tom, follow the undertakers as they carry the stretcher to a waiting van with its rear doors open. Watching from the veranda, Barbara has her arm round Artie, who is clutching his toy monkey. Joe and Tom stand stock still and watch as the stretcher is slid into the back of the van. The doors are closed, cutting off Katie from her family and plunging the windowless van into pitch darkness.
If you want to leave a message for Felicity or Harry, please speak after the tone.
Flick, it's Joe. I guess it's about lunchtime there. Listen, could you call me as soon as you get there?
Dad?
Harry?
Hi.
I thought you'd be away at school.
Are you okay? What is it you wanted to tell Mum?
Katie passed away in the early hours of this morning.
I'm so sorry.
Could you tell your mother for me?
Of course.
Joe is frozen with grief.
Harry, can I call you back?
Are you going to be okay?
Yeah, of course I am. I love you.
Love you too. Miss you, Daddy.
Artie is sitting alone in the hallway looking sad and distant. Joe, wearing a black suit, is sitting on the veranda with a drink looking out at numerous cars parked haphazardly in the yard. Tom sits down with a glass of wine a few yards away and glances across at his son-in-law, who seems oblivious to the mourners. Artie wanders through the packed house. The wake seems as relaxed as the reception at the art gallery, with people standing around chatting whilst eating and drinking. Artie comes to sit next to Joe on the veranda.
Daddy?
Yes, sweetheart.
I want to die.
Do you? Why?
So I can be with Mummy.
Tom hears this and walks away looking shaken.
Don't worry, Daddy. I'll stay down here with you for now.
Thanks.
Thank
see you soon, all right?
Come on, Artie. Let's get you into your jammies. Artie.
Bee, leave him alone. Let him run around if he wants.
Do you really need that? Oh, well, at least you should try and eat something.
I can't do this.
Joe slams down his glass of scotch, grabs the bottle and strides out. Tom gives Barbara a gently knowing, reproachful look. She glances resignedly towards him as Joe strides through the front door. In the distance, a flock of birds spread across rolling hills. Joe strides across a field, tearing off his tie. He has an empty look in his eyes. His determined stride tails off, and his face begins to crumple. He drops to his knees, sobbing. He sits huddled in the long yellow grass, looking like a shadow in the bright open field. A short time later, in the fading light, he's on his feet swigging from the bottle, swamped by the deserted rural idyll. A light on the veranda shines like a beacon in the darkness as Tom returns to the house. He finds a note marked with a kiss which reads, "Thought it best to take Arthur. Call me, B." Fully dressed, he curls up in the fetal position on Artie's bed. Joe hurriedly packs a bag, a box of toys and some cases of wine into the 4x4 and zooms away from the house. He stops on a quiet road sandwiched between hilly ground and the glistening ocean. Tom is driving a tractor through a field, spraying a tall crop of vines that immerses the vehicle. Joe zips along a road that cuts through a field towards his in-law's farmhouse. Barbara takes a tea tray out onto the veranda where Artie's drawing a picture.
Oh, what's that you're drawing?
It's a man taking Mummy away on the train. And here's a tree. Ta-da! Guess what? Grandpa let me sit on the tractor.
Hey.
Artie rushes into his father's arms.
You want to go and get your things together?
Why?
I thought we'd go away for a while, just you and me.
Where?
I don't know. A road trip.
What will we do?
What do you want to do?
Go to Splash Planet.
We'll see. Go and get your stuff.
Okay. Artie dashes into the house. Barbara looks troubled.
Is this a good idea?
I obviously think so.
He pours himself a coffee, then turns to his mother-in-law.
Thanks for taking them.
Where will you go?
I don't know yet.
Running away is never the answer, Joe.
Look, he sees me as someone who comes home after weeks away bringing presents. We need to spend some time together.
And afterwards?
Afterwards what?
Well, when you need to work, will you expect me to have him then?
Not if you don't want to, no.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Bea, I left my other boy when he was 6 to be with Katie. I need to know how to talk to him. I need to know how to comfort him if he needs it.
Look, this isn't about a week on the road, Joe. I mean, this is not about sweets and treats and God knows what else. This is about structure and routine and security.
I'm his father. It's my decision.
I think you're making a big mistake.
Wouldn't be the first time. Give Nana a kiss.
Bye, Nana.
Bye-bye, darling.
Joe waves at Barbara as he leaves with his son. As they drive along a road lined with dense trees, Artie puts his hand against the window. The sunlight, obscured by the passing tree branches above them, flashes at jerky intervals across the boy's face. They arrive at a remote motel as the light fades. Joe sips a bottle of beer on a lounger as he watches Artie playing around the deserted motel swimming pool. They're on the road again in the half-light. Artie's sombre, tired expression flashes in and out of the shadows. A jagged spear of light cuts through the darkness on the horizon as the night banishes the last of the daylight. Artie notices a convertible sports car speeding along a country road.
Can we get a car like that?
A convertible?
One without a roof.
Why?
So Mummy can see me in the car and update messages to me. Can we?
Later, as they cruise along a deserted country road, Artie's kicking the back of the passenger seat as he gazes blankly out of the window. Joe glances over his shoulder.
Hey, what are you doing?
Stop it.
Artie, stop it. Artie! Stop it!
Joe stops the vehicle and grabs Artie's feet. Artie glares at him.
What is it? What's the matter? You're hungry? You want a drink? Talk to me, sweetheart. What is it?
Artie's chest rises and falls rapidly as he glowers at his father, whose dark eyes look at him with concern.
We'll go to the shop, OK?
We'll go to the shop and I'll get you a juice and some crisps, yeah?
Does that sound good? You going to come in and help me choose?
Artie ignores him, staring defiantly out of the window. Joe emerges from a petrol station with a carrier bag. He opens the back door and hands Artie a bottle of orange from the bag.
I don't want orange juice.
What are you talking about? You always have orange.
I said I don't want orange juice!
Artie, it's all right.
Look, there's crisps, OK? You're hungry. Just eat some crisps.
Artie throws them in Joe's face.
God's sake.
Joe wanders a few feet away to calm down. He turns back to look at his son, who is staring straight ahead as if in a trance.
What can you do?
Pick him up. He's upset. Comfort him. Give him a cuddle.
He doesn't want me to.
Rubbish.
Well, it's like he's having a fit. You don't cuddle people when they're having a fit, do you?
You're vile.
True.
I couldn't leave him like that. Talk to him.
The trouble is, it's not me he wants. It's you.
He looks round and sees that Katie has gone. The only signs of life at the petrol station are Joe and Artie, who's now chomping on the crisps. Joe leans inside the vehicle and gently caresses his son's head.
I'm sorry, sweetheart.
That's all right.
Joe's lying on a bed, flicking through the TV channels. They're staying in a small holiday village of quaint cabin-style cottages. Nursing a bottle of beer, Joe tilts his head towards a closed door.
What are you up to in there? Artie?
Artie's flooding the bathroom by dive-bombing into a bath wearing goggles. Hazy morning mist drifts across a lake in the sunshine. Joe walks through the holiday village with a bag of shopping. He comes into the cottage to find Artie face down on the floor.
Artie?
He kneels down beside his son, whose eyes are wide open in a trance-like, dead-eyed stare.
Oh, sweetheart.
Slowly, he sinks down beside Artie and gently puts a hand on his shoulder. Patches of sunlight break through the windows of the cottage, forming dark, consuming shadows across the room. Back on the road, they speed past the ocean. Together, they clamber across a scattering of huge rocks on a beach. From a distance, they are barely visible against the wall of grey boulders. Artie scrabbles up a large rock that looks like a mountain peak in front of crashing waves. The ocean stretches out to the horizon like a huge blanket, threatening to overwhelm the two small figures on the rocks. Father and son arrive at Digby's house.
Welcome back, travellers.
Here you go, mate.
Thanks.
Digby hands Joe a beer.
Eat up, Daniel. Come on. You won't hit Mummy.
Digby. Thanks, Mummy.
OK. Back in a minute.
Come on, Bobby.
You're going to love this.
Excuse, darling. It's our little feeding ritual. Come on, Bobby. Oh, there's a wood in there.
Where's Daddy? Where is he?
Here he is.
Where's Daddy? Look!
Digby glides past the window, stretched out on a lawnmower.
What's Daddy doing? There he is. Oh, good boy. One more spoonful. Good boy.
I've only got two kids.
Live in the trees like we did. They may.
It looks like he's doing okay, considering.
Yeah, but what chance does he stand now?
He's got you.
That's what I mean. Shouldn't the state intervene and make sure a woman looks after little children?
Well, they'll look at me. You're not going to do tricks on my lawnmower to get my child to eat. What do I know?
Joe's at home, rushing round the kitchen, preparing breakfast.
Artie, come on. I can't be late. Artie! Oh, great. Let's go.
But I'm not dressed.
I know. Why not? Well, look on the line.
Can I have a mask off?
No, you bloody can't.
Magnetic letters on the fridge spell out, just say yes. Out in the yard, Artie, standing in a wheelbarrow, pulls on a pair of trousers and snatches a shirt off the washing line. Joe comes out with some toast.
All we need now is to get you to undress straight into the washing machine and the system will be faultless.
Artie's in the back of the 4x4, eyeing up his piece of toast with a frown. Joe glances in the rearview mirror.
Artie, eat your toast.
It's got crust.
What?
I don't like it when it's got crust.
No, it's fine. Just eat it, OK? You know what happens when you don't eat?
Artie rolls his eyes. At Artie's school...
It's my kangaroo nibbles, and we rescue injured kangaroos, and we keep them at home.
It's the walk, honey. Don't forget the parent meeting.
Sorry?
In the hall after school, if you can make it.
And he eats kangaroo pellets, carrots, and we sometimes give him treats. And Nibble sleeps in a pouch. And when they are older, they don't need a pouch. They go on a big yard. And this one's still on a heated pouch.
All right. What about you, Lucy? You want to talk about Tinker?
Well, I learned to swim and she teach me and I done the doggy paddle.
All right, your turn, Johnny. Who you got?
This is my fish and I like it because it's looking at me right now for some reason and all my other fishes died.
Oh!
Do
you
want
to say something about the cat?
Cat food looks better than it tastes.
A young blonde woman, Laura, is filming the show and tell. She films Joe as he leaves the classroom and smiles to herself.
All right, who's next?
Joe dashes into the imposing plate glass offices of the Australian newspaper, where he's met by Digby, who hands him some papers.
It's all there.
Thanks.
Should be self-explanatory. All right, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. OK, we might as well start with sport. Joe, what do you got for me?
Joe anxiously flicks through the papers Digby gave him.
No rush.
First up, cricket. We're leading with a story that came out
not
of...
Not you. Joe.
Yeah, we're leading with the Aussie touring party to India, who were well and truly stuffed in Jaipur by the Rajasthan Academy 11.
Good to have you back.
Good to be back.
OK, what's next?
Digby turns to a focused-looking Joe with a smile. Joe pulls up on the main street of a small town. He comes into a dimly lit hall laid out with desks. He sits opposite Laura.
Hi, Joe Ward. Sorry I'm late. And thanks for sorting him out this morning. I promise you he doesn't eat cat food. We're not at home anyway, we don't even have a cat. So, how do you think he's doing? I know it's only his first day back, but how does he seem to you? I mean, everyone grieves differently, I suppose. You know, there are some times where he plays happily and charts his mother's progress in heaven, and then other times... And at some point every day, he collapses into a sort of coma, sinks to the floor and just lies there. Half an hour later, he gets up and carries on like nothing's happened. He has some very weird moods, but then so do I, so...
You do actually know I'm not Artie's teacher.
Hmm?
I'm Lucy's mum. She's in Artie's class.
Right.
I'm actually just waiting for Miss West myself.
But this morning you were...
I was just helping out.
Of course you were.
Yeah.
He turns round and spots a middle-aged woman at a nearby desk.
Is that Miss West?
Mm-hmm.
She's a different person altogether.
I know. Spooky, isn't it?
Right. I'll just join the queue then.
He gets up and looks round self-consciously, then sits on the seat at the edge of the hall, exchanging a polite greeting with another waiting parent.
You're scribbling.
Later, he sidles into Artie's classroom, where Laura's hanging up some pictures.
You sure you don't teach her?
Well, I do take them for her. So how'd it go?
He seems to be doing rather better than I am.
They glance across at Artie playing happily with his classmates.
You know, if there's anything I could do, like if you ever want me to take him for you.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And 3 miles are as easy to feed as two, so. Your pleasure. Oh, I'm in the buzz book.
Sorry?
Oh, here, give me your phone.
Joe smiles as she taps a number into his phone.
There we are. Now we've got each other's.
Later, Joe and Artie get out of the 4x4 in the pouring rain. Artie steps into the road.
What are you doing? You must never do that. You never cross the road without me.
They cross the road together, heading for a supermarket. As Joe wanders along an aisle, frowning, Artie drops back, rubbing his shoulder.
Oh, come on, Artie. I said I'm sorry.
He's hungry.
That's why I'm shopping.
It's a bit pathetic, isn't it? Both of you sulking like five-year-olds. How long are you planning on keeping this up?
I don't have any plans.
Why don't you take him to Mum? Why don't you ask for help? We aren't meant to do these things by ourselves. He's got no one to go to and say how mean you're being.
That's true. That is definitely true.
As Joe looks back at Artie skulking, Katie vanishes. Later, father and son pull up in the darkness. Headlights in the distance spread a silvery path on the wet road.
Hey, cheeky bum. Come up here and sit with me. Come on. Now, you see that puddle?
Yeah.
You drive, OK?
OK.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
Now, don't miss.
I will.
Let's go!
On your markies! Get your car!
Artie sits on his father's lap, clutching the steering wheel as they whiz through a huge puddle like a roller coaster. The water from the puddle is followed by footage of a swimming race.
Now, you don't need to know anything about biology or fluid mechanics to deduce that Michael Fred Phelps III is built for speed. He just looks so racy. If you ran your hands over his naked flanks, and let's face it, you know you want to, his skin would feel as smooth as his neoprene wetsuit. With his flipper feet and paddle hands, his 6'7" wingspan, he must surely be the result of some devilish American experiment in bionics.
From the press box overlooking the pool, Joe sends an email to Tim Walker entitled Phelps Report. He drives away from an airport and in the late afternoon arrives at a small house enclosed by a white picket fence.
Oh, hi!
Hey.
How are things?
Sorry I'm late. Hey, look who's here. Here's a cuddle.
He's been great, haven't you?
Mm.
He's eaten really well. And we washed Mac.
Oh, that's
And, oh, look.
Next
to it. I needed these pictures at school today.
Say hello to me. I'll show you a trick.
Thanks, Laura. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
He looks at Artie's painting of different expressions, including happy, sad and afraid. Later at home, a framed photo of Katie and Artie is surrounded by clutter and dirty dishes. Joe's getting Artie into his pyjamas.
Can I go and live at Laura's?
What?
Can I go and live at Laura's? I'll come back and visit you so you won't be lonely, but I'll live at Laura's and Lucy's.
You want to go and live there, do you? Fine. But if you're going to go, then you have to go tonight. So pack your bag and I'll take you back there.
Daddy? Are you all right? Daddy?
On the veranda, Joe swigs down some liquor and stares numbly. Joe looks to the window where the sounds of Artie's cries are coming from. He turns away mournfully with tears forming in his eyes. Later, he's standing in the doorway of Artie's room, looking at his son face down on the bed.
So what do you want to do?
Whatever you want me to do.
What?
Whatever you want me to do.
I want you to stay here. I want you to live with me.
Joe sits on the edge of the bed and they wrap their arms round one another in a tight embrace.
It'll get better, I promise.
A water balloon hits the window in front of Artie, sending him tearing through the untidy house, with Joe in close pursuit, armed with more damp missiles. Joe hits Artie in the back, but is splattered himself with an immediate return of fire. Later, Artie rides his bike through the kitchen.
Mrs. Darling first heard of Peter when she was tidying up her children's minds.
As the sun sets, creating a golden glow, father and son fire water pistols at each other on a deserted beach.
It is the nightly custom of every good mother after her children are asleep to rummage in their minds and put things straight for next morning. Repacking into their proper places the many articles that have wandered during the day.
A pizza box sits near Joe's feet. He turns a page of the book, then notices that Artie's eyes are closed.
Don't stop.
Close those papers. If you could keep awake, but of course you can't.
Harry's been talking about you a lot. He hasn't seen you since you were here for Wimbledon.
I know.
He wants to come and see you, Joe. A boy his age needs his father.
What about school?
I've spoken to the head. The school will be fine. You pay them enough. Sorry, of course it's too much to ask. I should have known. I'll tell you too busy.
No, I...
Flick?
Yes?
Look, I'm sorry. Listen, he can come any time and for as long as he wants.
Thank you.
Look, you just tell me when, I'll organise everything.
I'll email you.
OK.
Artie's curled up on the sofa. At the airport...
How much taller will he be than me?
I'm not sure, quite a bit.
How much older is he?
Nearly 8 years.
So about 8 inches?
More.
Will he like me?
Of course he will, what's not to like?
I've got nibbles.
What?
I've got nibbles.
What, you worried you might not like your nibbles?
I've got nibbles.
There he is.
Which one is he?
Come on, put your T-shirt on.
Joe meets his older son with a beaming smile. Sandy-haired Harry looks apprehensive.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
So this is your little brother. This is Artie.
Hi, Artie.
How was the flight?
Long.
Well, let's get you back. How's your mum?
She's all right.
School?
She's crap. Wow.
It's boiling.
Oh, this is nothing. It's not proper summer here until the steering wheel's too hot to hold. So, here we are.
Harry looks taken aback by the mess in the house. Every square inch of table and counter space is crammed with dishes, leftover food and general clutter.
It didn't look like this when Artie's mother was alive. Your room's down here.
Harry crosses the messy kitchen and follows Joe down the hall to his room. Artie's outside on a trampoline.
One of his own compositions, I'm afraid. Are you tired? Do you want to rest?
No, I'm all right.
You want to get changed? Put on some shorts?
Later on.
Hands up.
I'll make some lunch.
I run a pretty loose ship. Basically, I've found that the more rules there are, the more crimes are created. So, fewer rules. Fewer, but bigger rules. No interrupting adults.
Why not?
Very good. No swearing.
Why?
Don't like it.
Why?
It's the mark of a limited vocabulary and a sign of laziness and egotism, which is why it's a privilege reserved for adults.
If it's a sign of a small vocabulary, then how come there are so many swear words? Bloody, bleeding, buggery, sodding, shitting, bastard, motherfucker.
Moving swiftly on. As little lying and stealing as possible. No fighting except for fun. No wanted littering.
Oh.
As far as possible, be polite. Now, screaming insanely, running around the house making absurd and disgusting noises, throwing water bombs at the windows, all of these are actively encouraged. Artie! In fact, really, there's only one rule, and that is you've got to do as I tell you. It's just that I'm not going to tell you to do very much. The aim is something we like to call hog heaven.
Okay. Oh, shit! Fuck! It's not funny.
Harry's can of drink explodes in his face. Later, he washes his face in the bathroom.
Hey, you okay?
Yeah, it's so hot.
It's quite a shock, isn't it? I remember when I first arrived. But it's a great place when you get used to it.
Harry reads from a book.
It has more things that will kill you than anywhere else. Out of the world's 10 most poisonous snakes, all are Australian.
You'll be all right. Hope you manage to sleep.
Joe gives Harry an awkward pat on the arm as the teenager backs into his room. Next morning, Harry's pale arm is draped over the edge of the bed, his knuckles inches short of the floor. He opens his eyes and wearily lifts his head. He kneels up on the bed and looks out of the window to see kangaroos roaming around the parched yard. He looks at them with bewilderment.
Did you submit?
No!
Did you submit?
No!
Tag team, you and Artie versus me.
Yeah!
I'll pass that.
Yeah. Hey, you're not going to win that easy, big boy!
Yeah!
Jesus!
Harry storms out after a couple of playful pillow whacks. A colourful banner strung across some trees in the yard reads, Happy Birthday. Kids run around playing happily. One of the kids whizzing down the zip line is caught by Harry.
Nice one. Oh, my God, you've got to be kidding.
The zip line.
Good, eh?
That is so high.
I know.
But if the wire breaks...
Oh, don't worry about the wire. The wire's fine. I'm trying not to think of that branch falling on him.
But seriously, if you let go...
Well, that's why he's hanging on so tight.
Nice one. Oh.
Be careful.
I think you rather enjoy upsetting mothers.
What gives you that idea?
Laura's laying out party food on the veranda. Joe comes out and hands her a plate.
Only 4 weeks out of date.
Wait,
sweetie, can you go get the fairy bread? Should I get them here?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Laura.
I'm Barbara.
Hi.
Arthur's grandmother.
Oh, pleased to meet you.
Is this one yours?
Yes.
She's very pretty.
Thank you. Oh, Addie.
Oh, darling.
Hi, Nana.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Nana.
Hey, glad you could come.
You'll put someone's eye out with that.
The thing is, constant warnings are maddening for anyone aspiring to be an overlord.
I would have done this for you.
It looks good, doesn't it?
Well, if they eat this lot, they'd be climbing the walls.
Tea?
Yes, thank you.
Barbara follows Joe into the house. She smiles sourly at the mess. She reads a large homemade card which says, Happy Birthday, Artie, in big, colourful letters.
Where is Harry?
Joe points to Harry playing football with some of the smaller kids.
Why has he come here now, do you think?
What do you mean?
Perhaps your ex-wife sticks you back on the market. Thank you.
Joe smiles coolly.
I remember Katie's 7th birthday party. We invited the whole class, 30 of them. They ran riot. It was a complete disaster. I still see her. In the street or... And not like in a dream. Actually there.
Me too.
She tearfully falls into his arms. He looks to Harry playing outside. The children scurry like ants through the darkness to hide. At the beach, Harry self-consciously watches a group of teenagers huddled round a campfire.
A hundred! Coming, ready or not. Come on, little children. Come to Daddy. Because I love to play with the little children and give them lots of lovely prezzies.
Oh, for God's sake, you're going to get yourself bloody arrested.
Ah. I think I see one of the little darlings. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Kyle! Oh, little
Joe hunts by torchlight.
Boys, look what you made me do. You made me angry. I didn't mean to shout at you.
I'm right here.
I think I know that little voice. Gotcha!
Happy birthday, boy.
In the house, a mass pillow fight is in progress. Joe pokes his head round the door and smiles at the chaos. With her daughter Lucy fast asleep, Laura finishes tidying up the kitchen.
Just say yes.
Has the power to change the way you live.
Really?
Seems to work for us.
It's not just an easy way out.
It's not easy at all. It's really difficult. Our kids ask us to do a whole range of unsuitable things and we just go, no, we don't even think about it. That's the habit I'm trying to control. Artie says, can we go and swim in the river? I say, no, I have to go and buy some milk.
You don't worry about spoiling him?
No, it's what he needs.
You're a brave man.
Thanks for everything.
Joe goes back into the house and carefully tiptoes through the tangle of sleeping boys on the floor of Artie's room. He kisses Artie and softly puts a hand on his shoulder. He turns off the light in the hallway, then goes to Harry's bedroom door. He peers in to find Harry with his back to the door playing guitar and wearing earphones. Suddenly aware that he's being watched, Harry takes out the earphones and turns around.
Yeah?
What was that you were playing?
Something I made up.
Sounded good.
Thanks.
Do you and your mum ever play together?
Sometimes.
I did love your mother very much, you know.
Then why did you leave?
Married couples of my mother and father's generation stayed together for the sake of the children. We divorced for the same reason.
You're saying you divorced for my sake? I thought it was because you got another woman pregnant.
Well, it was that too. We had some dreadful fights, you know. I was no match for your mother in combat.
Can't have been all bad. You had me.
No, of course not. In the beginning, it was great.
Listen, there's something I want to ask you.
Look, if you're imagining that your mother and I would ever get back together again...
Jesus, Dad. Our boyfriend's just moved in, for Christ's sake.
Really? When?
I don't know, a few months ago.
How's that for you?
Away at school, mostly.
What's he like?
He's nice.
Anyway, I just wanted to say thanks for all your help today. You were great.
Harry looks awkward. Jo gives him a pat on the shoulder as he leaves. Harry looks nonplussed as he glances back at his father. Jo looks at an old photo. He puts it down and walks away with a glass of liquor. The morning sunshine washes the coast, making it hazy. Tall grass on a hill ripples in the breeze like waves on the ocean. Harry's playing football in the house.
Harry, football is a huge goal! It's a wonder strike! It's a wonder strike!
I don't
want to
play soccer.
Why not?
Funny thing, isn't it? The minute you think you're getting things sorted is the moment it all starts to fall apart.
As he pegs out the washing, through the billowing sheets, Jo momentarily sees Katie collecting herbs from the garden.
Guys, guys, can you put your dirty clothes in the laundry basket?
Oh, jeez, do I have to do everything around here?
Daddy, can I have some Coke?
Can I have some Coke, what?
Can I have some Coke now?
Can I teach you some manners, Arthur?
Yes.
Put some bloody clothes on, both of you.
Why?
You know why. Laura's bringing Lucy around.
Why are you so angry?
I'm not angry. What makes you think I'm angry? Hey, welcome.
Hi.
Hey, guess what? One of our chicks are duckling. What?
Chickens that can swim.
And fly.
And shit on your head.
Can I have this table?
Of course you can. Drink? One glass. Family red.
I've got some things that I should get back.
One glass. Leave those.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. I've discovered this amazing cupboard in the kitchen which not only stores the dishes, it actually cleans them.
Really?
The housework has come as a big shock, I have to admit. Even though I watched so much of it over the years. The cooking, the cleaning, the ironing, the shopping, hoovering the carpets when they change colour.
How'd you meet Katie?
I interviewed her. She was an equestrian. I met her at some horse trials in England. She was with the Aussie team.
I made her pregnant. She came back to be near her parents. I followed.
What was she like?
Uniquely endowed with intelligence, rowdiness, sex appeal, energy. As it turned out, cancer.
Laura looks unsettled by Joe's blank-faced, matter-of-fact attitude. Harry peers through open doors and curtains billowing in the breeze at his father and Laura chatting over a glass of red wine out on the veranda. He turns away, looking angry and upset.
And then one day, Lucy asked me, "Mummy, what is dope?"
What did you say?
I said, "Dope is a special name I like to call Daddy."
What is his name?
It's Brie.
Brie? Like the runny cheese?
I haven't heard that one before. I've got to drive.
So how are things since the divorce?
Fine. He was a terrible husband. But okay, Dad. You know, now that he's clean. So what is it you want?
Something I can't have. I don't know, I mean, I've got plenty of people I can do things with. I just got no one I can do nothing with.
They turn round and spot Artie watching them through a window.
Hi.
Artie flits away without acknowledging her. Laura looks uncomfortable.
We'd better be going, I think.
Artie sullenly watches Laura driving away. Joe comes into the house.
I never want to see Lucy ever again.
What?
She spoils every game and she's always supposed to be the big sister and boss me around.
I thought you wanted to go and live with them.
But I don't anymore.
Well, Laura's my friend. I'm not going to stop seeing her on your account.
We'll see about that.
He's not upset because of Lucy.
Because of you.
He had you all to himself and I came along. Now Laura.
Laura? She's a friend. What? Can I not have friends?
God, Dad, anyone can see how much you fancy her.
Harry breaks off from his video game and walks away.
Don't be so bloody precocious.
Like Artie, Tom skulks off down the hallway to his room. Joe looks gobsmacked. He shakes his head and wanders outside into the sunshine. At the offices of the Australian, Joe's boss, Tim, is in his glass-walled office. He checks a report on his desktop, headlined, "Tennis Elite Prepares for Australian Open Grand Slam." The strapline reads, "Digby Hill."
You wanted a word?
Yeah, I see you've assigned coverage of the Open to Digby.
Yeah, I just thought you could bring something
to... I want you there.
Well, I've done it for the last 4 years. I just thought...
Look, I cut you a lot of slack when Katie was ill. You know, and then after she passed away. 3 months, just.
I know, and I appreciate it.
Artie. Hey, cut that out.
Sorry, he's a bit under the weather.
I want you there, Joe. From the first point to the last, I need my top sports writer covering top sporting events. Otherwise, you're not my top sports writer. Hey?
Joe ushers Artie away.
Come on.
At home, Harry's silhouetted against a window as he gazes out. He turns away from the window and runs his eyes over a wall of framed photographs of Joe, Artie and Katie. There are none of him on the wall. In the centre of the cluster of photographs is a shot of Katie standing next to a horse. Harry wanders away. At the Australian, Artie's on his own, slumped in a chair.
I've checked all the airlines. There's absolutely no seats available for the boys.
Well, maybe I could drive. What is it, 7 hours?
Ditto hotels. Everything's booked.
At Tom and Barbara's, the grapes are being harvested. Joe pulls up. Out in the vineyard, Barbara spots him striding towards her.
Is everything okay?
Yeah. How are you?
Oh, busy. We've got the winemakers here.
Listen, I'm in a bit of a jam. I was wondering if you might be able to stay down at the house with Harry and Artie.
When?
Next week. I have to go away to cover the tennis.
Well, this coming week.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you have thought of this before?
Well, I've been trying to take him with me, but it's not possible.
Why don't you ask that girl you're seeing?
What girl?
Well, the one at Arthur's party. She looked perfectly at home to me.
1 minute Flick wants me back, the next I'm seeing someone.
Well, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Look, we're really stretched here, Joe. I can't go anywhere right now.
Well, is there any chance they could come here to you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if it was just Artie...
You know what? Forget it.
No, I'm not saying I won't take
them. Fine, forget it.
Joe? Oh, please, come on, Joe.
He storms off without a backward glance. Barbara returns to her visitors. Joe diverts a call from Barbara. At home, Artie bolts down his breakfast.
Artie, shoot, come on.
As Artie dashes out, Lucy and Laura hurry in.
Hey!
Hi!
Listen,
hang on, I need a loo. Just wait.
They scamper straight through without stopping. Joe cuts the crusts off a sandwich. In the bathroom, as Laura washes her hands, something in the bathtub catches her eye. Cautiously, she creeps over to it.
Artie!
And finds a frozen chicken floating in water. She takes it through to the kitchen.
Defrosting. There's a dinosaur in the microwave.
He nods to a revolving toy dinosaur in the illuminated microwave.
Old Kevin becomes Hog Hell.
Think of the seven dwarfs before Snow White showed up.
She bins the chicken. Harry wanders in with some dishes.
Does Harry never do any chores around here?
Not as such. Artie, hurry up. Oh, please don't do that, he said, handing her the rubber gloves. You've got them on the wrong feet.
These are the only feet I've got.
Well, change them round, eat your breakfast and wipe your mouth.
Oh, God, I have to change my shoes, I have to eat my breakfast, I have to go to the loo, I have to do everything around here.
Oh, Jesus, I'm turning into my mother. It's not supposed to be like this.
Oh, what did you want to ask me?
What are your plans for next week?
Why? What have you got in mind?
I have to go away.
Where?
Melbourne, the Open.
You want me to have your kids for you?
The thought had crossed my mind.
Well, Lucy's with her dad next week.
Oh, great, so you're free.
Excuse me? What makes you think I'm not seeing someone? What makes you think I'm not spending next week having non-stop sex with my lover?
Are you?
We seem to have skipped a couple of crucial stages in this relationship, Joe. We haven't even been on a date, and now we're a couple juggling childcare. The seven dwarfs before Snow Bloody White turned up.
Just a joke.
Yeah, well, jokes and crappy theories. All just excuses for laziness and irresponsibility. You drink too much and you live like a pig. Artie, Lucy, we're leaving now.
Bye, Dad.
See ya.
Joe looks shaken. Harry's at a computer wearing a woolly hat and large dark glasses. He's on a social networking site that has a photo of him in his hat and glasses. He smiles as responses pop through. Joe comes in and Harry turns off the monitor.
So as far as the outside world is concerned, I'm not here. I'm in Melbourne, so I don't want anyone to answer the phone.
Okay.
And I'm going to need some help around here, Harry.
Okay.
Joe takes Harry's empty Coke can and dish through to the kitchen. Harry turns the monitor back on. In the living room, Joe sits in front of the TV with a laptop watching the tennis. As shots thunder over the net, Joe alternates between typing furiously and pacing on the phone as the boys flit around.
In Melbourne today, Venus Williams was comprehensively out-yanked by her sister Serena. She ramped up the volume with a series of shrieks, yodels, bellows and bleats to a record-breaking 103 decibels.
Joe's reports appear in print with his photo on the strapline.
For me, sitting in the Rod Laver Arena with the sun having long since set and the
keep it up,
constant.
Joe. Glad you saw sense and got yourself there. For a minute, I thought I was going to have to let you go.
As he's on the phone to Tim, Joe spots Katie out on the veranda polishing a saddle. Later, he gives Glamarty a cuddle. The boys are using oranges as tennis balls.
30-40!
Jude! Can you grab the ketchup?
Whilst Joe's hard at work in the living room, the boys are preparing spaghetti and ketchup. Artie watches his brother sucking up the pasta. In the tennis, Nadal crashes to the floor exhaustedly, dropping his racket. On the veranda, Harry and Artie are asleep in a hammock. Joe makes himself a coffee as he works late into the night. In the morning, he's on the sofa, hunched over his laptop.
Don't answer it.
Hello?
Yeah, mate, thought you should know. Our esteemed editor has tickets for the men's final. You'd better get your ass over them.
Oh, shit.
Harry's in the living room watching a film as someone is being attacked by a crocodile. Marty's fast asleep. In the neighbouring room, Joe closes his laptop and wearily rubs his forehead.
Have you taken the rubbish out?
Not yet. I will.
Harry, you rarely get asked to do things in this house, but when you do, I want you to do them.
Why can't it wait till morning? It's dark out there.
I'll forget it. I'll do it myself.
I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it if it means so much to you.
Just leave it. I've got it. Christ! Where do you think you're going?
You said leave it. Make up your mind.
Could you come back here and help me clear this up, please? And take that stupid bloody hat. Oh, Jesus, don't stop crying.
You are such a funny shit!
Oh, brilliant. Terrific. Well done.
Joe picks up Artie and carries him out. In the bathroom, Joe watches Artie brushing his teeth. In the kitchen, Harry is on his hands and knees clearing up the broken crockery. Joe comes in and crouches down beside him.
I'm really sorry. Someone said something about chores and I fell for it. Stupid. I've been a bit stressed about work. Sorry.
Joe gently grips his son's shoulder and gives him a pat as he gets up. Harry avoids eye contact with him, keeping his gaze fixed on the floor. Joe grabs a broom and together they tidy up the mess. Later, Joe's at his laptop.
You have to go, Dad. You'll never get away with it. It's crazy. I'll look after Artie.
No.
It's just a couple of nights. I can do it.
No, Harry...
Trust me, I can do it. I promise.
Joe ponders. Next morning...
Remember, don't answer the door to anybody. You've got all the relevant numbers. I'll have my mobile with me
all
the
time.
Yeah, but call me if there's any problem at all.
We'll be fine.
Okay. Bye, then.
Bye, Dad.
Look after him.
Go.
Go, Daddy.
Joe looks in the rearview mirror and sees Artie running after him, waving his toy monkey, Mac. Later, Joe gets out of a cab.
Thanks.
In a hotel room, he throws his bag onto a bed. He opens a curtain and gazes out of a window which overlooks the Rod Laver Arena. As the last of the light fades, birds go home to roost.
So everything's fine?
Everything's great. We're just having dinner and then Artie's going to bed.
Good.
Don't worry. Enjoy yourself.
Make sure you lock up properly.
I will.
OK, I'll call you in the morning.
Night.
Joe makes his way through the press box.
Oh, hello, stranger.
Only wheeled out for the finals these days.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know who to root for. Long legs or big breasts?
First set.
I suppose you could make a decision based on the relative strengths of two extraordinary athletes.
Breasts, isn't it? Gotta be.
The two journalists smile at each other and take their seats with a bird's-eye view of the vast arena. Harry's on the veranda playing his guitar. He notices his little brother sitting huddled up in the long, dry grass with his head bowed. Later, they climb a tree together. They sit in an old bathtub out in the yard, splashing each other. Caught in the sunlight, the drops of water glitter like diamonds. The night sky is blanketing the hills and the ocean. On the beach, teenagers are gathered round a campfire.
What's all that noise? Where are you?
We're just down the beach with some other kids.
So let me say goodbye to Artie.
Hello.
See you later, alligator.
Don't forget your toilet paper.
Not too late. Night.
Bye.
Harry wanders away with his mobile. An older girl spots Artie by the campfire.
Should keep it in bed.
My dad's alive.
The girl and a boy next to her exchange surprised looks. In a bar, Joe waves an empty glass to attract the barmaid's attention.
You want to hear my favourite joke?
Why, do I look like I need cheering up?
Maybe.
She smiles flirtatiously, and his eyes follow her as she walks away. Harry's in bed reading a book.
Are you okay?
Can I get in bed with you?
If you want.
Harry tucks him in and opens up Artie's copy of Peter Pan. In the bar...
Hey, beautiful. Excuse me, beautiful.
Listen to this.
Do you know why you should masturbate with these two fingers?
The barmaid looks uncomfortable.
Because they're mine.
And they say the age of chivalry is dead.
What's your problem?
Never mind.
Who asked you anyway, huh?
Please don't make me.
The man headbutts Joe, but is restrained by his friends.
I'm sorry.
Boys on the island vary, of course, in numbers, according as they get killed and so on. And when?
Don't stop. What is it?
Back in a sec, just stay there.
Car headlights illuminate the house.
Oh, God, I think I've lost my bloody phone.
Does it hurt?
Yeah, it hurts.
Oh.
I don't even know your name.
Mia?
Hey, Mia. I'm Doe.
Hello, Doe.
A beaten-up car looms out of the darkness and drives up to the house, which is crawling with kids from the beach. Harry looks overwhelmed by the invasion. Artie is huddled in a doorway. The raven-haired barmaid, Mia, is on the phone as she cleans up the blood from Joe's face.
Did you look on the floor at the end of the bar? Okay, thanks. No, there's no sign of it. Oh,
shit, my whole bloody life's in that phone.
She cradles his head. Back at home, it's chaos. Harry is cowering in the shadows on the veranda, looking tearful and frightened.
Yeah, are there any messages for me? No, thank you.
I'll just get you to sign that one for me.
Thank you.
So you're here for the men's final, Mr. Walker?
Tim spots Joe leaving the hotel.
Joe?
Joe gets into a taxi.
Airport, please.
Oh, my God.
He bursts into the trashed house.
Artie? Harry?
He looks out of the back door, then switches the answering machine on.
Joe, it's Barbara. Art is here with me.
Barbara, what's going on?
Where have you been?
Where are they?
What have you done to
are
your face?
Are they safe? Are they all right? What the hell happened?
I don't think Artie should see you like that. I mean, where were you last night? We tried to get hold
Where's
of you.
Where's Harry? I need to speak to him.
Well, Harry isn't here.
Where is he?
He's at the airport.
What are you talking about?
Well, he wanted to go home. He wanted to go back to England. He was very upset.
What do you mean, go back to England?
Well, he had a return ticket, and he insisted. I had a long talk with his mother, and Tom's taken him. I mean, what the hell were you doing, leaving them alone in that house? Whatever possessed you? Goodness knows what would have happened if Artie hadn't called me. Those kids from the beach had overrun that place. I had to turn them out, and thank God Tom was there.
Can you fetch Artie for me, please?
No, I think Artie should stay here with us.
Fetch him, please.
Look, I could have called the police and I could have called your welfare.
I want my son.
Do you think they'd let you keep him
Artie?
If I had done? No, get out of that house. No, not in front of the boy. No.
Come on.
No, get out of my house. You're not free.
He's my son, V! You can't replace your daughter with my son.
Jo marches away with Artie.
Did you hurt yourself?
No, my bad.
Jo fastens Artie's seatbelt. Tom pulls up alongside.
You all right?
Walked into a door.
Pretty big one by the looks of it. Your boy got off all right. That's what he wanted to do.
How was he?
What? He said to tell you he's sorry he let you down.
Thanks for sorting things out over there.
Oh, I was Tiger Woman. I just stood by the ute with the shotgun.
Nana was very upset.
She misses Mummy. We all do.
At home, father and son have breakfast on the veranda. Jo reads a back page headline, Rafa's triumph, Roger's tears. On the strapline is Tim Walker.
Harry left his bear. Is this bothering you, Daddy?
No, sweetheart.
Is this bothering you, Daddy?
Artie bounces the bear on Joe's head.
Hello.
It's Joe.
You are unbelievable.
Is Harry there?
He doesn't want to talk to you, Joe.
Flick, I... Artie, bedtime. Artie?
Jo edges slowly into Harry's room.
Artie?
Artie's lying in Harry's bed with the bear. He has a distant, mournful look in his eyes.
I miss him too.
At school, Artie is with his classmates in the playground. A skinny, scruffy guy with long hair and shades takes some bags off Laura.
I'll do my bit, all right?
Look after her. And you know what? Just make sure it's in the week, OK?
All right, Jen. Go, Lucy. Let's go.
Bye, Lucy. See
you, Mum.
How's your day, sweetie? That's good.
Hey.
Gosh.
Is that the boyfriend?
No, that's Ronnie Cheese. Daddy tells me he's going to England.
Seems like the right thing to do. Maybe.
What do you want me to say?
Personally, I find nothing is often best.
Oh, and by the way, there's another thing.
Sorry?
There is no boyfriend.
She strides away. A sliver of a smile plays across his lips as he watches her go. He heads towards the playground, then glances back at her. Through the raindrops on a car window, fuzzy shadows of trees framed by grey skies flit past. A car drives along a country road past sodden fields and bare trees. The car heads for a grand building with jagged imposing spires and towers. In an oak-panelled common room, a school honours board has J.C. War in gold lettering. Joe's name is also engraved as captain on a silver trophy. He gazes at a cabinet heaving with trophies and framed photographs. Artie is smashing balls together on a small snooker table. A team photo has J.C. War amongst the names below the image.
Artie.
Joe lifts up Artie to show him the photograph.
Can you see which one's me? One with the football. That's me.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Mr. War? I've spoken to Harry. I'm really sorry. This is really rather awkward. He doesn't want to see you.
I see.
He has games.
Right.
We can certainly talk. I have a few minutes.
Not just in a minute, thank you. Sweetheart?
Father and son wander along a shadowy passageway with grand archways and pillars. Daylight spills in through the narrow, lead-lined windows. They come out onto a sports field where the boys are playing rugby. Artie runs away.
Where are you going? Artie!
Harry!
Artie runs onto the pitch and Harry scoops him up in his arms.
What are you doing here?
We've come to see you. We want you to be with us again.
Look, I'm really sorry.
I don't want to see you.
Harry!
Harry puts Artie down beside Joe, then returns to the game. Artie looks downcast. Joe watches as his eldest son gets the ball from a scrum and makes a flying acrobatic pass. Artie glances back at his older brother as they trudge away. In a rustic pub, Artie sits in the corner with Joe, drawing a picture with crayons. Harry and some of his schoolmates come in and head for the bar.
Do you boys see Joe's stuff? Yeah, he didn't get up for a while.
No, I didn't.
Same as all the
sex. I wasn't going to take on the fullback. He looked like 30.
Can't tell the difference between them and their coach.
I'll get these. We used to come in here after games too.
5:52.
Can we talk?
I'll see you in a second. Where's Artie?
He's just there.
Joe points to the corner. They sit at a table away from Artie.
I'm really sorry about what happened. I should never have left you guys alone. It was wrong. And I'm sorry that you didn't enjoy Australia more.
I loved Australia.
Well, it wasn't everything you wanted it to be.
I need to ask you something. And I want you to listen to me.
Of course.
I mean, really listen to me.
I do.
No, you don't.
Okay, well, I'm listening now.
Why did you leave me? When you went with Katie.
You know why? I fell in love with someone else. She was pregnant.
No. Why did you leave me? I mean, why didn't you take me with you? I wanted you to take me with you. I wanted to be with you.
I can honestly say the thought never crossed my mind. When you were so young, I thought a child should be with his mother.
Didn't you miss me?
God, yeah. But, you know, there was this new baby. I was trying to get it right.
So you just left me with her?
With your mother?
With my mother, who hates me.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Your mother adores you.
See, you don't listen. I try and tell you how I feel, and you say I'm ridiculous.
I'm sorry. No idea.
How could you? You plan happy families on the other side of the world. You never wanted me.
No, that's not true. I'm sorry you feel like this.
Yeah, well, deal with it.
Harry grabs his drink and goes to join his friends. Outside, the village is in darkness. Joe and Artie come out of the pub to their car. Artie opens the car door and light falls on Harry's bear, stretched out on the back seat.
Harry's bear!
We'll give it to him another time. No, he's with his friends. You'll embarrass him.
But I won't give it to him!
Artie scurries back inside the pub with the bear. Joe's breath forms clouds in the cold night air. He looks through the window and sees Harry and Artie locked in a warm embrace. Joe has a solemn, haunted look in his eyes as he watches his sons. Artie holds his monkey, Mac, up against the window as he and Joe drive along under grey, leaden skies, with raindrops on the windows obscuring the view. Later, in their hotel room, Artie's looking at pictures of convertibles in a magazine.
Daddy, there's a car here without a roof.
Must have been awful to live with sometimes.
Daddy, I'm trying to be, but I can't do all the work.
Katie, oh, don't abandon us now.
Daddy, I'm begging you with all my mouth.
Come in, sweetheart.
Joe comes through from the ensuite bathroom.
Where's that car?
Father and son walk along a terrace of Georgian townhouses. Through a window, they can see a child playing a violin. A woman with shoulder-length fair hair answers the door.
Hi.
What are you doing here?
We've been to see Harry.
Yeah? How was that?
Not too good.
I'm not surprised. Why do you do things like this?
Things like what?
Who just turns up at the door?
Have you got a baby in your tummy?
Yes, I have.
My mummy's dead.
I know.
Congratulations.
Harry didn't tell you?
Not a word.
Would you like something to drink, Arthur?
What have you got?
Why don't you come in and we'll have a look?
Don't you have a lesson?
Just come in, for God's sake.
Is Jason home?
Just come in.
In the oak-panelled common room at Harry's school, Joe watches the housemaster walk across the immaculate grounds with Artie. Harry comes in.
Thanks for seeing me. You want some tea? God, I hated this school.
Really? Never knew. Names on every board.
It was awful here then.
It's pretty awful here now.
Really? So, your mum's pregnant. You didn't tell me.
Gonna be a girl.
That's nice. Be cool to have a sister, wouldn't it?
Harry stares morosely at his tea.
So where do you fit in, do you think?
Not sure I do.
Okay, look, I'm going to take Artie back to Australia. But what we want, both of us, is for you to come with us. Come and live with us. I saw your mum yesterday. We had a long talk, and she wants what's best for you. She really does. So if you did want to come, she will support that. Artie and I have talked about it a lot, and it's definitely what we want. He just adores you. Obviously, it's a huge decision, so you don't have to decide this second.
Didn't feel safe there.
What, the 10 most poisonous snakes?
No, Dad. You. You scared me.
That won't happen again. Whatever you decide, I promise I'll be a better father to you from now on.
I can't, Dad. I can't. All my friends are here. It's not fair on Mum. I'm sorry.
Alone in the dimly lit room, Joe looks distant and sullen. In the hotel room, he packs a bag.
So when are we going?
Tomorrow morning.
When's Harry coming? Daddy?
He's not coming with us, sweetheart. He's gonna stay here. He'll come for holidays and stuff.
Artie pounds his father with a flurry of blows like an angry ape. He climbs onto his bed and curls up in a ball. Joe is frozen, looking grave. Heathrow Airport flashes on a train departure board. Joe's at a ticket machine, glancing over at Artie sitting on a platform with the luggage as a train thunders into the station. Artie looks round as the train doors open like a line of tumbling dominoes. Joe grabs his tickets from the machine but frowns as he notices that Artie is no longer with the luggage.
Artie!
Joe frantically weaves in and out of the oncoming tide of disembarking passengers.
Artie!
Artie!
Daddy!
Artie emerges from the crowd, leading Harry by the hand. Joe stares at his eldest son in disbelief as if he was looking at a ghost. Flick sidles up.
Don't you ever check your messages?
We don't have much time.
Joe stuffs the luggage into a rack on the Heathrow Express train. From his seat on the train, Artie watches Harry embracing his mother. Harry gets on the train. Joe leans in close to his ex-wife.
You won't lose him, I promise. Saving on school fees alone is like 5 trips back here a year.
Thank you for saying that.
Good luck with the baby. Keep us posted.
Joe and Harry stand in the doorway of the train, facing Flick on the platform. Tears form in her eyes as she waves. The glass doors slide shut, separating mother and son. She waves the train off. The train windows are like a stream of shimmering mirrors. Flick is reflected in them, her image distorted and flickering in and out of view. Back home in Australia, Joe's on his laptop.
So here we are. A father and 2 sons surviving in a household without women. Like a year-long experiment in a satellite, free from earthly influences.
Harry's sandwiched between 2 identical black dogs. One licks him and he nuzzles the other.
Harry, did you just wipe your face with a dog?
Harry, wipe your face with your own dog!
Later, Harry's asleep on his bed, cooled by a desk fan. Artie's getting undressed in front of the washing machine. Joe's feeding the dogs.
Given its inadequacies as a child-rearing unit, I like it. It's home alone, except there's 3 of us.
He smiles as he watches Artie dropping his clothes into the washing machine. Later, Barbara's playing with Artie.
Yes. I'm off.
Take that chuckle.
I'll be back by 6.
Out! No,
it
was it, referee?
6-5 to Artie.
Yes! Oh. Yes! Yes!
Bye, then.
Bye, Daddy.
Barbara waves off smartly dressed Joe with a smile. He drives along a narrow, snaking road. Hills roll up to the edge of the calm ocean under a bright sky dusted with fluffy clouds. Artie does some martial arts moves. The boys run with the dogs. Joe's emptying the wardrobe of Katie's clothes and placing them on the bed.
I don't think he brushes his teeth enough.
I agree with you about that.
Can't you get him to do it twice a day?
Once a week would be in advance. Can't understand why they're so white, though. Is he brushing them in secret, do you think?
She's sitting by the window.
What about his hair? When did he last wash his hair?
Well, they wash it when he gets it cut. And I'm rigid about that. He gets it cut twice a year, whether he needs it or not.
He finds her wedding ring. The boys are playing on the trampoline.
He seems happy.
I'd say he is, usually. God, he misses you.
He still remembers me?
Of course. Don't ever think that we'll forget you. You'll always be his mother.
One more thing.
What's that?
Will you do one more thing for me, Joe?
Anything.
Buy that convertible.
He has his back to her as he looks at her in a mirror.
I will. And if anyone asks, I'll tell them why.
He turns to face her, but she's gone. Sunlight streams through the window and the white curtains gently flap in the breeze. His eyes drop and he looks peacefully melancholic. From the pile of clothes on the bed, he picks up the little black dress she wore the night she collapsed. He stares at it, lost in thought. He puts the dress back in the wardrobe. He gazes out of the window. Artie's in the back seat of a convertible 4x4, gently waving his arm against the breeze as if he's gliding on wings. Wearing shades, Joe drives with a contented, peaceful smile. From the passenger seat, Harry looks back at his little brother looking up at the sky as the wind blows his shoulder-length hair. Streaks of sunlight give everything a warm, hazy glow. The convertible tears along a dirt road, leaving a cloud of dust in its wake. The convertible follows a winding road and disappears over the brow of a hill with the ocean beyond. The dust slowly settles, like the ripples receding on a pond, leaving everything calm and still. Cast: Joe War, Clive Owen; Laura, Emma Booth; Katie, Laura Fraser; Harry, George Mackay; Artie, Nicholas McAnulty; Barbara, Julia Blake; Tom, Chris Haywood; Digby, Eric Thompson; Flick, Natasha Little; Tim Walker, Lewis Fitzgerald; Lucy, Nakia Perez; Mia, Emma Lung; School Housemaster, Stephen Robertson; Paula, Georgina Naidu; Digby and Paula's Children, Daniel Carter, Adriana Conde, Chantal Dwarka, Connor Marinos, Alicia Marku, Brianna Richards; Artist Teacher, Donna Lean; Goldfish Boy, Johnny Frasina; Kangaroo Boy, Cody Fawcett; Headbutter, Nathan Page; School Secretary, Kate Roberts; Bree, Luke O'Loughlin; Newspaper Office PA, Susie Collins; Men on Beach, Michael Allen, Andy Ciencella; Women on Beach, Eliza Lovell, Grace Sodman; Birthday Party Mothers, Rainey Mayo, Alexandra Shapisi; Tennis Journalist, Annie Finsterra; Smart Party Hostess, Susie Small; Nurse, Sanjaya Patterson; Editorial Meeting Journalists, Lizzie Falkland, Susie Fraser, Ezra Huanta, Adam Morgan, Nick Palomis, Terry Rogers; Beach Girl, Crystal Sanson; Beach Kids, Cassandra Clementi; William Cox; Tim Gisouth; Clayton Stainer; Harry's Friends, Tommy Bastow; Rupert Simonian; Joe Stunt Drivers, Gary Baxter; Alex Sheehan; Artie Stunt and Picture Double, Oliver McGill; Joe Stunt Double, Chris Mitchell; Stunt Pub Patrons, Ashley Fairfield, Chris Weir; Joe Standin, Kim Slaby; Artie Standins, Indiana Crowther, Alexander Nilsson; Harry Standins, Alex Hall Evans, Mitchell Mager; Katie Standin, Rebecca Rimmington; Laura Standins, Megan Skye, Monique Shamika; Barbara Standin, Rochelle Glynn. Filmed on location in South Australia and England. The filmmakers would like to thank the people of Adelaide and the Fleurieu Peninsula. Financed with the assistance of the Bank of Ireland. International sales, Hanway Films. Financed with the assistance of the South Australian Film Corporation. Developed and financed with the assistance of BBC Films and Screen Australia. An Australia-United Kingdom co-production. Copyright Screen Australia, South Australian Film Corporation, Tiger Aspect Pictures and Southern Light Films. Audio description by Michael Woodford for IMS.